Hallelujah. All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to Colossians, and we'll briefly look at this morning's verse and then go on from there. It's amazing to me, the timing of the Holy Ghost, how he weaves all these messages together again. I know if I had time to sit down with each and every one of you, the enemy has not died, you know, I'm sure there's things in each of your lives where the enemy has been attacking you. From where I sit, I have an overview. I don't know everything that's going on, but I have an overview of some of the things. And my goodness, it's just amazing. I told you about one morning a phone call was going off. My phone was going off pretty early. And it was a man it was a man on the other end of the line, halfway around the world, that I've met before, and the enemy had him so tormented he was literally thinking of suicide. That same week, several strong things happened, difficult things, different families. People they're agreeing at me with their eyes, those that know. And then I got a call yesterday from Pastor Jim Martin. And a man from his church, who's been coming forever, a real good man, went home and found his 30-some-odd-year-old daughter just dead in the house. They didn't know yet. When Jim called me, he had only been on the scene about 8 minutes. The police were still there. They don't know what yet, whether it was a heart attack or suicide or something else. But it's just amazing. It seems like we're in a time where it's like the enemy, you know, take no prisoners, it seems like. It's like take no prisoners. Things are just coming to a head, which if you didn't know the truth would be very scary. But if you know the truth, it gets exciting because it means we're getting close to something. You know, Dave again shared here. I taught about that this morning in verse 23, which is if you continue in the faith, this is Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, boy, it seems like the enemy is pulling out all the stops to move us away. Every kind of tragedy, you know, all he really has is Mark 4. He can't come and just push you off the cliff. He can't come and just do that kind of thing. He has to work through circumstances. He has to work through depression. He can't push you off the cliff, so he tries to get you to jump off the cliff, you know. And all of that is Mark chapter 4. Persecutions, afflictions, the cares of this world. What's he trying to do? Well, the way Jesus said it in Mark 4 would be to choke the word that you've heard, so that it becomes unfruitful. Let's say it another way. So that it never comes to pass. So that the word that you've heard, whether it be in general or personal directly to you that you've heard from the Lord, to choke it. It's designed to choke it. Well, the word itself can't be choked. I mean, the word is God's word. But your faith can be choked. You have to turn away. This is a good way. I like the way it moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's what the enemy's trying to do, trying to move us away. Well, the answer to that is to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Those two words, grounded, if you look it up in the Greek, literally means a foundation. Where the word itself has become your foundation. A foundation that can't be moved. Settled would be like you took earth and you shook it and wet it and it settled and you shook it and it settled and you wet it some more and you shook it and you settled it till finally it's sediment. It's really the word for sediment. Something that has, for a long time, through pressure and active use, has settled now and it just can't be moved anymore. That's the way we're supposed to be. Grounded and settled in the faith, no matter the storm. Remember the guy in Luke 6? He said the storms come, the rains came, and the storm beat upon the house. Storms are coming. I mean, the storms of life come to everybody. Comes to the saint, the sinner, the atheist, the believer. A lot of Christians, they hear the word of God, but they don't do the word of God. The person I was talking to about, you know, halfway around the other world. Yes, sir. Okay, we need to stay in Colossians, but go to Philippians chapter 4. And see if you're struggling with depression and if a lot of things have come. And maybe they've not come against you, but maybe you're just here at the prayer center and you hear about some of the things that have been happening. And in whatever form, if depression or hopelessness is trying to move you away from the hope of the gospel, see, it's your choice. You can continue to think on those things and stay that way and get worse. Or you can do what Paul says here, starting in Philippians 4:6. And this is what I told to the man the other side of the world. I said, I'll get another phone call from you. You're either going to come out of this or they're going to phone me to tell me you're dead. But it's going to be your choice, not God's. It's your choice. You have a right to choose what you think on. The devil can't make you think that negative stuff. You say, I can't help it. Yes, you can. That itself is the very lie. You choose. So anyway, it says here, be careful. And that really means is be careful for nothing. You could say it this way. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, not the worry of God, not the torment, which there isn't any anyway, torment of God, not worry, not torment, not fear, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That means you're peaceful and you don't know why. I should be worried. I don't understand why I'm not worried and fretful. Why am I not depressed? Because he is keeping your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. He tells you the exact formula here how to do that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now notice, this is a command, it's not a suggestion. Think on these things. So I was talking with this. Okay, now, what will happen if you do that? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. In other words, Paul was an example. He did that. When you've seen it in me, do that, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if words mean anything, you ought to write out in the margin. And if you don't, he won't. See, it's your choice. So I was telling this guy, I said, now, let me put it in the vernacular. My 91-year-old mother, I said, I'm telling you what now, my mother's been saved and spirit-filled for a long, long time. I don't care how dark the storm cloud is, I'm telling you, that can be the ugliest lightning, flashing, crashing, scary cloud you ever saw. And my mother will find a silver lining on that cloud somewhere. Somehow she'll find it. Now, the way she says it, she's 91 years old. She didn't get to be that old by being stupid. Okay, that's it. Now, how do you, what's the secret, Mom? She says, count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Well, I said that to this fella, and he's a good guy. I really like this guy. But see, he was at such a point. I said, just count your blessings. He says, I can't think of a single one. I said, have you got 10 toes? I can tell you, show you a little boy in Uluga up here that through no fault of his own got that meningitis disease, lost both legs, both arms, half his face, and he's the most joyful little boy you ever saw. You got 10 toes, 10 fingers, you got all your appendages, that's blessing number 20. 10 toes, 10 fingers, count your many blessings. Count. Say, have you got a friend in Oklahoma? Yes. Blessing number 21, that's me. I'm a friend in Oklahoma. It's not telling him what he wants to hear. See, I'm telling you what you need to hear. It's your, what do you mean you can't, you're not in prison? Blessing number 22. You have a car to drive? Blessing number 23. If it's paid for, that's jump on to blessing 30. That's a lot of blessings. What do you mean? See, the enemy, his job is to, he's trying to move you away from the hope of the gospel. And there is some terrible things. Oh, yeah, you could think on that all day. Oh, you know, whether it's big stuff, little stuff, you think on it long enough, you can change your molehill into a mountain. And if it's a mountain, you can change it into a bigger mountain. You let him keep you on with that, you'll wind up jumping off the cliff yourself. Nobody has to push you. You ditch your own self. This is how you do it. Notice it says think on these things. It doesn't say pray that you can. You know why not? You already can. You're just, I'm not looking at anyone for any particular reason. I got to look somewhere. You already can. It's not. I didn't say it was easy. When you get in depressed mode, it's easiest to stay in depressed mode. And the flesh loves a pity party. Oh, let me tell you about my mountain. I don't want to hear about your mountain. I want to tell you about my mountain. And by the time I get through, I'm sure you'll be convinced that my mountain is bigger than all your mountains put together. The flesh likes that. It does. And it's easy. You know when's the hardest time for me to make, you know, like go through those in him confessions? When nothing in me wants to. When my flesh is beat down and all it wants to do is, you know, when I open up a gallon of ice cream, sit in front of the TV, whatever it is you do, I don't know. Whatever, you know, I'm not one to call and talk on the phone, stuff like that, but just, you know, somebody pet my poor little me. It is so easy to stay in that. The hardest time ever is to get your confessions out. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. If God be for me, who can be against me? It is God that justifies. Who shall lay the charge, any charge, to God's elect? And you start quoting those things. But if you do, and you start thinking on those things, it won't be very long. You'll start coming out. Most people are not. See, go back to Colossians now. Most people are not established. I'll be honest with you. They're just not. They're not established in the gospel. They may be saved. I'm not saying they're not established in going to heaven. That part of the gospel, when it comes to an overcoming, conquering mind, you know, the mindset of Jesus, to have the mindset like I'm a son of God with an anointing by the Holy Ghost. Who can stop me? Most people don't have that. But notice it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Come on, let's go down to chapter 2, because he can really continues here. He says, now Paul never personally, at this point anyway, ever preached himself at Colossae. They've only heard of him by letters and by word of mouth. So in chapter 2, he says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, so what's his conflict? What's his prayer for them? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in what? Isn't that amazing? I did chapter 1 out of Colossians this morning at the 8:30 service. And what was the 10 o'clock service all about? The 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 2:30 service today. 2:30. That's all about love, you know. And that your hearts be knit together in what? In love, see. It's the love of God. This whole thing comes from the love of God because God is love. Being knit together in love. And to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now this is really a phrase right here. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now in the previous chapter he told you what that mystery is. Look at verse 27 of chapter 1. We'll start in verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you couple that up with verse 23, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Christ is your hope of glory. He is the image that the Holy Spirit is literally transforming you to. If you lose that, if you lose hope in that, that you can become more and more like him, more and more conformed to that same image, that is being moved away from the hope, the mystery of the gospel. The whole church at large, to be honest with you, doesn't even have that hope. They don't believe it's possible in this life. And they have a lot of help from their preachers. I'm glad I go to this church. Because almost every book, that's what every Pauline epistle, practically, that's what it's about, is you don't have to keep living like you used to. You don't have to stay in fornication. You don't have to stay depressed. You don't have to let the devil move you away from the hope of the gospel. You can be conformed to the image of God's Son. He's already done that in your spirit. Now we're in that renewal process where that same transformation is taking place in our soul. That is exactly the process we're in if you be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, going back up here to verse 2 again of chapter 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Now, what is the mystery of God? Thank you. There's actually people here. I'm not in a studio. There's actually people here. The mystery of God is Christ in you. Your job is to acknowledge that. Notice that. To the acknowledgement, where you begin to acknowledge it. He's in me. He is in me. If you have Christ in you, you remember all that in John 17? I in the Father, you see, I in you, the Father in me, you in us, we're all one. That's why it's all about the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. By that new nature, when you walk in the room, honey, God walks in the room. Not only that, you've been anointed by the third member of the Godhead, and that's the Holy Ghost. If the church ever believes this, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, what's that mystery? Christ is in me, and if he's in me, that means the Father's in him, and he's in the Father, and they're both in me. Now, exactly what's not possible now? See, this is that hospital-emptying understanding. This, it talks about the assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement. Begin to acknowledge this mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Well, what is that mystery? Christ in us. Christ in us. There is absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be emptying the hospitals. But have you noticed the enemy is hell-bent? I don't mind using that in church. He is hell-bent on destroying this place, on moving everybody here away from the hope of the gospel. I told you again about what Sue saw right after the first of the year. We was walking in, just wasn't expecting anything really, you know. We were just walking in the service. And the Lord, she walked in and just happened to be a very few people here that day. And she heard the Lord say, desolation. That's not a word she uses very often. She said, Lord, did you say devastation? And he said, no, I said desolation. That's the enemy's plan. Desolation. Well, we looked it up later. Those two words, they're very close in meaning. They both mean like a wasteland and, you know, like, everything's gone. But the difference between the two, when you look them up, desolation also means uninhabited. And boy, if that's not the devil's plan for the prayer center. He does not want us. He doesn't even want the memory of this place. He would like it if the whole building was gone. If there was nobody here left, not one single person contending for revival. Desolation. Have you noticed there's been some going on? And the purpose is to move as many as possible away from the hope of this revival. The real target is not you. It's not the other people. The real target, if you want to know the truth, is revival. It's about revival. Are we going to have it or not? I say we are. Amen? Let's keep going here now. In verse 3, in whom, they're talking about Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you know they're hid for you? When it says they're hid, that doesn't mean they're hidden from you. They're hidden for you. They're hidden from the world. The world will never believe the truth of God's word. The truth looks at Mary over there and says, oh, that's, he says, these people are nothing. They have no power. You have no anointing. You're just over here wasting your time with that gibberish over here, you know. And the truth of the matter is, he's so scared. He's got devils on assignment everywhere, doing his best to devastate this place, to make it a place of desolation where there's not even one person left contending for revival. That is not going to happen. all the treasures of wisdom. How does he say it? The riches. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are hidden for you. You're the one that they're hidden for. Because you have the nature of God, you can receive the things that have been freely given to you of God. The world, it's hidden from them. They cannot know these things. But we can. Yes, sir. And again, I have to say it. Not every preacher is preaching the truth. Not every preacher on TV or elsewhere, not every pulpit is telling you the truth about these things. Most of it is religion. Putting you back under some kind of Old Testament salvation where you are forgiven. They don't deny the Lamb. They don't deny that He'll forgive you through the blood of Jesus. But they deny that you're changed. You're still just that same old sinner, only saved by grace now. And man, it sounds, some of it, it so sounds right. It would seduce or, even the very elect, Verse 4. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Boy, they are enticing. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Now notice how close this verse is, verse 7 to verse 23 in chapter 1. Verse 23, it says, continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. There, that word established is just what it sounds like. Established once and for all. Your feet set on solid ground. Notice, and the previous verse, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now notice, rooted and built up where? In Him. That's more than just knowing Him. That's built up in Him. You have got to know who you are in Him. Now we're right back to those in Him confessions that we made available at the website. It's in the printed material section of www.garycarpenter.org. I believe it's at ICTUS. I believe it's also at Dave Roberson's ministries. 26 pages in the font that I chose. It's only this kind of font or it's not true. No, that's religion. There you go. There's a, and you got to read it on Thursday. No, I'm teasing. But see, that's the kind of stuff he's really going to be talking about here in Colossians. Silly, elemental stuff. It's got nothing to do with the truth. But see, what he's wanting is for us to be established and built up in Him. Boy, if that's not those 26 pages of scriptures telling you who you are in Him, what you have in Him, what you can do through Him. I mean, there's 26 pages there for your soul to be, it can become an anchor for your soul so you quit be waving around and thinking one day you're anointed of God and the next day you're in the doghouse with God and one day we can empty the hospitals and the next day I can't even get my car started. And I mean, get off the roller coaster and let's get established. Who are we? And I love how, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to start sounding a lot like Jesus. And the church doesn't like that. The church at large, they don't like that. When you walk up to someone, I don't recommend this. You walk up to say, look, I'm a child of God. I'm from above. You're from beneath. Your father's the devil. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way he wants you to do it. I like this, though. You don't ever see him wavering in his confession about who he is. He would say things like, I and my Father are one. He'd say, Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. That should be our common, that should sound so normal to us. You're going to start sounding like him because you are like him, really. He's remade us in His image. Hallelujah. rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I found it, I can't hardly go through those confessions. I'll just go a little ways. I'll be saying a few of them, those in him confessions. And the truth starts dawning on my spirit, what he's done for me. I'll break out in worship. Confession becomes worship. I can't help it. I'm going, you talk about grace. It is all grace. I mean, I didn't do anything to achieve any of that myself. He did everything through his own work. My job, though, is to believe it. And as I'm renewing my mind and these truths are dawning, everything that he's done for me, man, I just break out with thanksgiving, just like it says here. You begin to worship God, thank God. All right. Now, verse 8, though, now here's a beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, what matters is, are you born again? What matters, are you in him? Are you a member of God's family? Have you been born of the second man, the last Adam? That's what really matters. Do you have a relationship with him? Do you talk with him? Do you hear from him? Are you on his path for your life? Those are the things that matters. Not when he starts talking here, what you eat, don't handle, don't touch, don't taste, all those little things. He says none of that in the long run really matters. What matters is the head. Christ is the head of the church. My body is supposed to get its direction from where? My head. I'm not being led by my thumb, hopefully. Well, if I hit it with a hammer, I might be for just a minute, you know. But all the body comes immediately to the rescue of the thumb. I love you. Poor little thumb, you know. But really, we're supposed to be, the head is supposed to lead the body. Isn't that correct? That's what he's talking about. This thing is more real than religion. Religion's all concerned with don't touch, don't handle, don't taste, you know, how, all this little nitpicky stuff. And he says, this is what the Pharisees did. They were all concerned about the outside of the cup and, you know, drinking with the pinky up or whatever it was that they did, you know. But the inside of the cup was filthy and dirty and just the opposite. God, yeah, the outside will get cleaned up as you get cleaned up on the inside, but this transformation is from the inside out. It is from the inside out. That's what matters, your relationship with him. Man, I'm not going near fast enough, so beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, see who you are in him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. See, that verse is in everybody's Bible, isn't it? People, religion will fight you tooth and nail that Jesus did not die spiritually. And right there it is. God raised him from the dead. It can't be talking about he's the firstborn from the physically dead. There's a lot of people raised from physical death. He is the firstborn from spiritual death. He took our sin nature upon himself. He became like us. You talk about a champion. He sailed like the captain of our salvation. He sailed right into our death. He came right where we are. God had to first quicken him from death to life. He is the firstborn from the dead. And he says in that, he says, you want to get out of this death? Get in this ship with me and I'll sail you out of here. And he is the captain of our salvation. Isn't that good stuff? But he raised him from the dead. And in verse 13, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Almost the same wording right there as Ephesians chapter 2. Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Through that process, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, and he's, that's what matters. He said, now that's what's important right there. You have been raised from the dead. You are born again. The handwriting of ordinances that was against you has been nailed to the cross. That's all over. So and then he comes, he says, basically now, but therefore, let no man therefore judge you. Why? You died. Don't let them judge you. Well, you're not eating the right thing. You're not drinking the right thing. Or in respect of a holy day. Or in of the new moon. Or of the, even of the Sabbath days. No wonder. Who wrote this letter? Paul. He said, don't let them judge you about the Sabbath day. No wonder the Jews were out to kill him everywhere he went. No wonder. Jesus would heal on the Sabbath day. Religion wanted to kill the author of life because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. Goodness. Religion is crazy. It'll make you crazy. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. You know, kosher foods. Now, some people in this room will go, hot dogs. Oh, my God, you know. So you can't be eating that stuff. They get all excited about the nitpicking little stuff about food and everything. Honey, go with me the next time I go to Korea. You know, go with me. And they'll set that bowl of stuff in front of you and it's wiggling. You know. Then you go, kill it all, Jesus, you know. Bless it, Lord, you know. And they handed me this one bowl one time, you know, and they took me to good restaurants. I mean, you know, but still, their food is so different from here. And this one bowl, I promise. In Oklahoma, after a big rain, you know, in the springtime, they had these big earthworms come up out of the ground. They're about that long and they're brown. You know, they're great for fishing. They're great. This bowl looked like it was full of those earthworms. I mean, it did. It looked just exact. And I'm looking at it, and I can tell it's been cooked. You know, I mean, they're not moving. They're not moving. They're moving. Now, other bowls they gave me was moving, but this one's not moving. And I couldn't take it. I had to know. I was going to eat it anyway. But I was going, is this worms? He looks at it. Is roots is good for you? Eat it. Yeah, that's it. It doesn't matter. It's not kosher. Jesus said, when you're going to be on a mission for him, you eat what is set before you. Eat what is set before you. See, everything. We're in a new covenant. Listen to the head. That's what the head will tell you. He's not going to put you back under the law. He's going to tell you something that's going to help those people. That'll give you a doorway into their life so they can hear the gospel and be saved. See? So he says, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, Dave, I think it was from this verse, he taught some excellent passages. I mean, he's taught many excellent messages. But you know where it talks about the Old Testament being the shadow? He said, Jesus, you know, for there to be a shadow, there has to be something real that casts that shadow. Jesus is the real. All that shadow of the Old Testament, it's there because of Christ. Jesus is the real. You don't stay with the shadow once you can have access to the real. I'm going to go worship your shadow, and you're standing right there. Yeah. I mean, it's just I'm going to eat only kosher food. And the person cast the shadow says, eat what is set before you. No, I'm just going to only eat the kosher food. You're worshiping a shadow. And the real is right there. The kingdom has come. The king is here. You can worship the king. Isn't that good? Those things are all a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. And that's what's real. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. And people, I got to tell you, there is lots of that going on. Lots of angels and things that they've seen, and this angel of prosperity, Dave mentioned that again, this Emma, the supposedly this woman angel, female angel of prosperity. That there's a lot of that stuff going on. They're prophesying stuff that's just coming. He said it exactly right. They're just coming out of their fleshly mind, or worse, they're actually now receiving information from demons who are masquerading as angels. They even tried that with Dave. He told us about it this morning. Okay. Verse 19, though, not holding the head. You got to hold to the head, which is Jesus, from which all the body, by joints and bands having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, in other words, you're not a part of Adam's family anymore. You're not of, you have not received the spirit of this world. When you got born again, you received the spirit which is of God. You're not even really, you're in the world, but you're not of the world anymore. So if you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Got 5 minutes here. One time, at the direction of the Lord. You ever hear the Lord say, turn on the TV? I know it's rare. Years ago, I was doing something TV wasn't even on, and I heard the Spirit of God say, turn on the TV right now. I turned it on, and it was on the Discovery Channel, and they were showing one of those festivals. Not a festival exactly, ritual would be the better word. And it's where they make that holy pilgrimage, you know, once in their lifetime to Mecca. Isn't that what they do? This guy, this particular, you know, they were showing several of him. He was walking for miles. He was walking. And he had some kind of a leather strap whip thing. And he was shirtless. And he would take 3 steps and hit himself 3 times. On the, you know, like over the shoulder and hitting his back, the camera went around, it was just bloody, just blood. He would take 3 steps, kneel on the gravel road, and do that prayer like they do for a little while. Stand up, take 3 more steps, hitting himself every time. This went on, I forget, it was something like a 7-day journey from dawn till dark. And they fasted the whole time. And the Lord had me watch that for a reason. It's this verse right here. This verse. Yeah, all of that stuff seems to have humility. You know, they're scourging the flesh. Yeah, I'm going to put you. See, they're taking truth from the Word of God. Because we are, he says, all of that only makes them more the child of hell than they were before. It's strengthening the soul to over, a demented soul, over the flesh. Okay, the difference for us is we have a spirit which is of God. You don't have to put stripes on your back. He already took those stripes on his back. You have received his spirit free. You don't have to flog yourself. He took the flogging so you could have his nature free. Now, fasting, we do fasting. He says, as long as if he was here right now, he wouldn't need to fast. But he says, no, when the bridegroom leaves, then shall they fast. And Dave taught on that again this morning. He said, that's the wineskin. He had to leave us in this old wineskin. You know yourself, if you don't do any discipline, if I don't do any discipline on my body, I'd be 400 pounds. I wouldn't be able to fit through the door out there, you know. So it's just an avenue to keep discipline of the body. But what he was showing me through that television program, listen, every false religion has that kind of stuff in it. And it, just doing that kind of stuff doesn't make you more spiritual. It might make you more disciplined. But that doesn't mean you're going to hear from God, walk more like God. It'll make you walk. It means you can kill people more efficiently than before. Be a better suicide bomber than the guy who lives next to you. It's not building the love of God in you. And that's really what the New Testament is all about. Being conformed to the image of Christ. Well, God is love. Thank you very much. Love does not take a bomb and blow up his neighbor. Love does no ill to his neighbor. Hallelujah. So let's pick it up in chapter 3. I want to get to one verse down here. If then you be risen with Christ. How many are risen with Christ? You've been born again, been raised to new life. seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, if you'll couple that up with the teaching we did out of Ephesians, you know he is seated there. Who else is seated there in him? We are. We are seated right together with Christ at the right hand of God, not just above, far above all power and principality and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this life, but also in that which is to come. You're seated right there. Think about that. Talk about blessings. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. You are seated at the right hand of God. Boy, if that's not the opposite of the suicide thinking that the devil wants you to think. Do you know, you can't even think of one blessing. Can't think of one good blessing to think about. Not even that I have 10 toes and 10 fingers. Boy, if that's not the opposite extreme here. I'm seated at the right hand of God. Not just above, but far above. All principality and power and might and dominion. Man, he says, set your affection on those things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. You're no longer a child of Adam. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, because of all that, now, verse 5, mortify, put to death, stop, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. You don't have to commit fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Greed is idol worship. Greed, covetousness. He's saying it's idolatry. It's the worship of self. That's why if you have enough money, you can have your own little island. You can buy your own island, buy your own army, become your own little nation, you know. It becomes a god to you. It brings you what you want at your will. He said, covetousness is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the time which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now we're going beyond that. Put off also these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now notice, this is just like Ephesians 4. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There it is again. The real you. This new man, which, notice, is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's Christ Jesus the Lord. He is your Adam. You have been made in his image. That new man, when you put him on, it looks just like him. You're like him. Where there is neither Greek, and see, and all religion and even nationalities, really, there is neither Greek nor Jew. Boy, that'll preach in a lot of Jewish churches. Try that in a synagogue. See where it gets you. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. Do y'all see any of this in Pastor Dave? Mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, that's agape, that's God's love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Be you thankful. There again, that is the if you have a thankful heart, if you count your many blessings, count them one by one, if you're constantly thanking the Lord, it's hard to live in depression. You won't live in depression. You won't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. You won't think on all the pessimistic things. You'll be optimistic and thanking him all the time. Backing up to verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's only two kinds of people on earth. Those that are born of Adam. Those that are born of the last Adam. Jesus Christ. Notice, there is no longer any distinction. This is why Paul in his letter to the Corinthians says, we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. There's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew. There is no such thing. He says in the letter to the Romans, he said, a Jew is one who is a Jew inwardly, where the circumcision is of the heart. That's a real Jew in the sight of God. But notice, there's not Greek or Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now real quickly, go to Galatians 3:28. We'll finish with this. He has a message for you ladies. It's a good one. Writing almost identically the same thing to the church at Galatia, starting in verse 26. For you are all the children of God, how? By your physical birth? You are a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You become His child when you put your faith in Christ Jesus. You're not His child before. You are His creation, but you're not His child. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now look at this, almost exactly the same. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. What? There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's why I say all the time, you ladies, you are just as much an heir as any hairy-legged man. I'm telling you right now. I am Eve. I'm part of the body of Christ. Jesus is Adam. Hairy legs and all, I'm Eve. I mean, my mind had a long, hard time with that, but positionally, that's who I am. The body of Christ is Eve. But really, we're new creatures that didn't exist before. We're not Gentiles. We're not Jews. You might be a slave, but if you're a slave in the natural, you're still God's free man. But I know, you know, you're wearing a woman's body, I'm wearing a man's body, but in God's sight, we're all the same heir. You have the same inheritance as any man. There's not even male or female anymore. Is that good stuff? And if you be Christ's, which you are, then you are Abraham's seed. You are an heir according to the promise. Glory to God. Have to just quit again. We're just out of time. Isn't that good? You talk about think on these things. You have enough in this one service to overcome depression for 5 years. Or longer, your whole life. I mean, come on. If you start getting depressed, please get this out. Start getting these scriptures. Get those in Him confessions in your mouth. It will change. It will begin to acknowledge, like he said, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. That's the acknowledging of who you are in Christ. Oh, I just want to preach it again and again. I'm telling you, we don't have to stay the way we are. And this city does not have to stay the way it is. This hospitals don't have to stay full of children with that damnable cancer and all those things on them. That is not God's plan. Can y'all tell I'm not burning out? I'm burning in, glory to God. I'm telling you what now. I'm not going to be moved away from the hope of the gospel either. All hell will be breaking loose, and it has been. Has been. So what? God's word is true. We win. Devil loses. I'm not going to be spending eternity in hell. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Glory to God.